We're going to start our worship a little bit different. We're going to do a couple of carols this morning. So if you can turn in your hymnals to 211, we're going to sing the first three verses of O Come, Emmanuel. And start with that. And then we're going to go to 237, Sing We Now of Christmas. Sing We Now of Christmas, and we'll do all five verses of this.
Sing with Please be seated. Yeah. Let us pray together this morning. Eternal and everlasting Father, who has given us your Son, who has imparted your Holy Spirit to us. You love us, Lord. We cannot understand it. Our minds, our hearts, our soul, we cannot comprehend the immensity of your love. We set ourselves above you in so many ways. We judge one another when you have forgiven us. We cannot forgive ourselves so often. We hurt one another. We condemn one another. And yet you love us. Lord, we thank you for your gracious love and kindness. The way you've extended yourself to us on this earth. Lord, we ask and pray to you to this day. As we confess our sins before you, as we acknowledge what is the reality of our lives, that you would extend your presence to us in a way that we can receive your grace. Forgive us, Lord, this day. Give us the courage to make things right with others and right with you. Lord, help us to be true reflectors of your grace, to shine your glory out from our lives, to love as you have loved us. Give us the power and the compassion to see those that you need us to see. In this season of giving, we ask that you make us like you, true givers to this world. We ask for us, your people, your church. You've given us your mission to share your message, the good news of life with others, with our neighbors, and with our enemies. Forgive us in our failings in this, Lord, and make us strong and bold in ministry and witness. Lord, we ask for our missionaries, for all those in harm's way this day. We pray for those who need your healing, that you would grant your power and presence to their bodies, your wisdom to their caregivers, your compassion to those who love them. We pray for those who mourn this day, that as you stand beside them, they would sense your nearness, your love. We pray for us, your church, again, Lord. There are many who need us in this world. And the temptation of these times is to focus on ourselves before anything else. Guide our hearts anew. Restore in us a clean spirit, a right spirit. Cleanse us inside and out, that we may truly be your children, full of your grace, full of your mercy, full of your love. Lord, you want this from us. So help us in that. Lord, we ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whom you sent. And we pray the words that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us offer ourselves and our gifts to God this morning.
On a cold wind.
Father Almighty God, we do thank you. But out of obedience, we come to offer these before you. You have asked and we have given. And return these gifts to you. Use them according to your good will. Consecrate not only these gifts, but consecrate us, your people, for your service. Set us apart that we might be your instruments in this world to give your grace and mercy and love to all. In your name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. Please be seated. Understandably, we got a few wires crossed this weekend. I have can you hear, Faye? No? Does it need turned up a little bit? Can you turn it up some? Is that better, Faye? Can you hear? Okay. So I was anticipating us having communion together today. That's not going to happen. I wasn't certain whether I would be here given some of the things that our family's experienced. And next week, Jim has shared that he was he's willing to preach for us next week. So Jim's going to bring the message next week while I spend time with Julie and her family down south. But I do want to share some of these things because part of what we're, and it won't be long, but part of what we do together in Advent is a lot of remembering, isn't it? A lot of, we use the same kind of decorations that we use every year. How many of you have bought tons and tons of new decorations over the last month? No hands are raised. Look around. How many of you, what is the oldest Christmas decoration that you possess? How many years old is it? Somebody yell, what do you got? Okay, well that's setting the bar pretty high right out the gate. 60, anybody beat 60? What do you got? Your grandmother's, what is it? What is it? Oh, the old glass ornaments and parts of what? Oh, the little houses, yeah, that used to. Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember my parents setting up houses on the mantle that had little lights in them. Does anybody do that? Yeah? You got some of those? And 60, so 100 years old. Anybody have decorations older than 100 years old? That's pretty high, right? We can do that though. We can get in ruts. And part of those, I think part of those ornaments, we have some of our own, you know, some that I inherited from my parents, some we've inherited from Julie's parents, down the line, my grandparents, and so on and so forth. And I don't know which ones are which. Some of those ornaments that we put on the tree hold particular memories for us. You know, we have for a while, like when the kids were little, especially the first couple babies, you know, we had like little shoes that we hung on the tree made of like some kind of porcelain with a date on it. Do you guys have stuff like that? And then there would be the first Christmas ornament and then the second Christmas ornament. And then we had four kids and we gave up all that, you know, so feel bad for the last two here that didn't get quite as much on the tree. But, you know, this is a season of remembering. We do a lot of the same things that we've always done to remember, not just, we want to, and we come to church and we say we're remembering Jesus, and certainly we do, but in our homes we're remembering earlier times, right? Times when we were the little ones around the tree, and those memories are dear to us, and we want those to sustain us, and we want those we love to have the same types of feelings when they come to that celebration that we had as youngsters. Isn't that true? That joy and that wonder and that awe. And so I wanted to talk about remembrance. And often when we come to the table of communion, that's one of the things we say. As a matter of fact, if you look up in the high altar up there, do you see what that says? Can you guys read it? It's in that old English font. This do in what? Remembrance of me. And I want to read the words of Paul, and you see them in your notes there. For I pass on to you what I have received from the Lord himself. On the night which he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, gave thanks to God for it, then he broke it in pieces, and he said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people. an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time, everybody say every time. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating this bread and drinking this cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment on yourself. I want to focus on that verse 26, where it is until he comes again. We do these things. We remember. And, you know, Advent is a season of remembering. We remember in our homes. We remember in our church, you know, the season of Advent and that preparation for us that has become the preparation for Christmas. But also Advent is originally for the early church was that season of anticipation of Christ coming again. And that's really the time that we go to the table. We remember Christ came and that he is coming again. And so over and over again in the scriptures we have this command, until he comes. Until he comes, do this. Until he comes, do that. And this remembering why and who Jesus is so essential to us as Christians at every time of our lives, no matter what stage of life it is. So I just want to walk through why we remember, why it's so important for us as a community of faith to remember that core essential part and what Jesus came to do and what he said about himself that night with those disciples. They bore witness. They were there. They saw him. They heard him. And they shared with all those around him. And then they shared with those and on until it came to us, you and I, the celebration of communion. So first of all, remember is a command. Jesus says to do this. Do this in remembrance of me. Do it. Have the communion. Remember this celebration. He said this with authority. It is a command of Christ. It is something we're called to do. So for us, remembering, sitting down, and when we have these rituals, when we do these things in church, yes, they are traditions, a lot of them. And many of them human beings devised as a way to keep central the core truths of our faith. And in different times and in different places, they did it in different ways and in different languages, but the table of the Lord has always been the same. It has been that core, the body and the blood of Christ. And it is a command, so it becomes you and I an act of obedience. We do it because Jesus told us to. So in doing that, in remembering, not just having communion, not just celebrating sacraments, but in the act of remembering that moment and what he said there and what it is and who he was, when he enunciated that to his disciples. That's the core truth. Because when we talk about Bethlehem and the manger, we're talking about someone, the God of all, who came into the world for one purpose, and that was to bear the burdens of your sin and my sin. And so when he says, do this in remembrance of me, it's not just remembrance of the manger, but more importantly, the remembrance of Calvary and the cross. And remembering for us then gives strength. The second thing is remembering. We're called to remember that moment with Jesus because it brings strength. You know, our faith is built up by this corporate act of remembering. We're encouraging one another. We're holding one another up at the table of the Lord. You know, just as food gives strength to our bodies, so the spiritual sacrament gives strength to our souls, to our spiritual life with God in the midst of one another. We come to the table together. Communion is not supposed to be celebrated alone. It has always been from the very beginning an act of the body of Christ. We say the words at the end of it, because there is what? One bread. We who are what? Many become and are what? One body. It's the core part of it. When he says, remember that, that's what we remember. This is his blood. This is his body. The theological things we say are things like about the sacraments. They are an outward, invisible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. We don't believe in magic in Methodism and in most of Protestantism. We don't believe that the bread is magically transformed into something other than bread. We don't believe that the grape juice or the wine is magically, you know, mystified because some pastor who's been ordained by a bishop or a pope has laid his hands on it and this magic power goes into it. No, it is the act of us celebrating together and doing exactly what Jesus told us to do that makes this meal for us, that meal, that sacredness, that causes us to remember the sacredness of His sacrifice, to bring it back into us. That act of remembering reinforces the things we learned. Isn't that true? You know, we come through Thanksgiving. How many stories did you tell over the table about previous Thanksgivings? Do you remember those? How many stories did you tell on one another? Do you remember the time that we do that as a family? You guys do that on just us, or, you know, yeah? I mean, that's how we do when we come together. You know, for us, coming to the table of the Lord isn't any different. Do you remember the time when Jesus did this with His disciples? Do you remember what He said? Do you remember who He was? Do you remember what He did for us? It grants strength. It reminds us of who we are, that we share something special, that others will be challenged to understand. That what God is doing in us is hard to explain, but it is real and powerful. Remembering gives us strength, but we are called to remember with a purpose. There are several purposes in remembering, things that are accomplished, things that God does. First of all, remembering gives us anticipation of what's to come. You know, there are stories we tell prior to our meetings with our families together, you know, do you remember that time so-and-so did this? And we start thinking about it, and it brings a smile to our face, and we get to this anticipation of, oh, it's going to be good to see them again, right? And we'll tell those stories again, and we've heard them all before, but there's power in them. And that makes us anticipate. In 1 Timothy, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he's talking about how this anticipation is important. He's talking about his relationship with Timothy and how, Timothy, you need to do these things, and the community needs to do these things until I can get there with you and we can talk about them. This anticipation of someone's arrival is part of what happens when we remember the Lord at His table. Remembering it's important for us to remember who Jesus is. It's important for us to remember what He's about and why He came, because we begin to anticipate His coming again and look forward with joy, because if that's the kind of God He is, the kind of God that would go to Calvary for me, I can't wait to see Him again. But the other purpose in remembering, and as we do that, is that we remember what He's given us, that there is a stewardship element. Part of what He's told us to do is to keep this act and to do these things as a stewardship over His life. In Luke 19, it talks about stewardship. Jesus tells a parable of a Lord who entrusts to His servants certain resources. And he says to me, Esther, after He gives them, says, I want you to use these to benefit my kingdom and until I come back, to use these things. And so remembering at His table reminds us that we're stewards of this life, stewards of these relationships, stewards of this material things that we watch over. We remember the Lord Jesus and what He did, because it keeps us honest with His stuff, doesn't it? It's important. How many of you, your parents left you at home? You ever have like a younger sibling? How many of you older brothers and sisters around? Anybody older brothers and sisters? And it was that time where your parents weren't quite sure whether to leave you home alone. You probably don't remember. Do you remember that? And your younger siblings would act up. They say, you had to keep reminding them, Mom and Dad are going to be home soon. Do you remember? having to remind them, having to use your parents' name to keep your siblings in line. How many of you ever had to do that? Just me? My little sister. Oh, my goodness. We're living in this world with this great and wonderful stewardship of all that God has given. And it's important to remember whose it is and who we're watching over it for and what's important about it. And so God reminds us that we remember with a purpose. And then in Revelations, you know, Jesus talks about waiting until he comes, because when he comes, there is a victory awaiting. That there is a victorious life that we're to experience together with him. But I think when we come to the table, remembering is and ought to be personal. It's not all just about the church and the faith and what we do together and being the body of Christ. It's about you. And what has Christ been for you? And has he shed his blood for you? Have you received him into your life? Have you acknowledged him as your Lord? And if you did, there's a personal moment of remembrance. There are times past when you've come to his table and you acknowledged and received and felt and experienced his presence in powerful ways. For some, it becomes very tempting as we go on to discount those things. Oh, I just was emotional that day. Or, oh, we pretend sometimes that we did not meet with God. And it's silly. And it's hard. It's, you know, when we think about relationships and we think about the people we've met in our life, how could you prove that you met any of them? Anybody ever meet anybody famous here at the church? You ever meet anybody that you always wanted to meet? Who'd you meet, Tom? Oh, Alex Haley, Roots. Oh, wow. And President Obama. Now, prove it. It's difficult. Some now, we have pictures everywhere, right? It's a little easier. As the years go by, you know, we remember some of the things of our youth and we remember it certain ways. And sometimes we challenge ourselves and we say things like, did that really happen? But they did. And it was real. And remembering is very personal and very important to you and I. We know how important it is when someone we love forgets, don't we? Because we've all felt that pain. Remembering for you and I is so important to our faith. Remember who God is for you, what he has done for you and I, how he continues to love and care for you. And if you're open to that, there are new memories for him to make and new memories to come for each of us. I'm going to stop there because there's not much else I can say except we don't... But to say that, you know, Christmas for us and our family is a time of remembering. Matter of fact, honestly, the older I get, the less the presents, and they seem to be incidental, don't they? They seem to be more like a chore than a real joy sometimes. Not to give them and to share them, but how do you know what to get somebody? Anybody ever, are you guys in the middle of that struggle now? Just me? No. But it really doesn't matter, does it? It's being with them. And so it is with the Lord. Does it matter whether we have wheat bread or white bread when we're here, or no bread at all? Does it matter? We're in God's presence today. And he loves us. We're his church. It's a good thing to be his church, to be his people, to know each other, to care about each other. That's a good thing. And we should remember who it was that gave us that. And when he tells us to come and remember him, we ought to come and remember him because of all he's done and all that he's doing now. So let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for this season that is just fraught with memory of the times past and the times to come, the new memories being formed in our children, our grandchildren, our families, our friends. We thank you for the new things that are happening that we will remember in years to come. But Lord, now we remember you and that night which you surrendered yourself for us in place of us. You never knew what it was like to feel guilty and stand before your Father ashamed until you took our sin upon you. And we thank you so much that you did that. You understood our fears, our pain, our agony at being separated from the Father. You understood the struggle of loving others. You took on all our pains and all our sorrows, and we remember you, Lord. We remember you because you chose to be born, and you chose to come and do this for us. And Lord, you chose us. And we give you thanks today. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you for your time this morning, church. We're going to stand and sing one last song.
Wonderful week as you go throughout this week and this Advent time. Let the love of Jesus and the joy that he brings to us during this time fill your heart and overflow into those that you meet. In God's name we pray. Amen.